This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, July 2nd, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks fall as trade tensions take center stage to start the third quarter.
The peso weakens as Mexico's left-wing party wins a historic election.
In the UK, Theresa May faces a moment of truth over Brexit.
And in Germany, the fate of Angela Merkel's coalition could be decided today.
One Republican senator says she can't back a judge who would strike down Roe v. Wade. Plus, President Trump says he will mention election meddling with Russian President Putin. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, the Yankees take a key series from the Red Sox while LeBron heads west.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Harvard Business School, partnering with global companies to equip leaders with the strategic skills, global vision, and confidence to tackle complex issues and continually reshape their businesses.
We are seeing a sea of red across global equities this morning. U.S. futures and European stocks are following a slump in Asia as we start a big week for global trade. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 14 points this morning. Dow futures down 146. NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. CAC in Paris down 1.1%. FTSE 100 down 0.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 2.2%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 2.82%. The yield on the 2-year 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 33 cents to $73.82 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% on $4.40 at $12.50.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1641, and the yen, 110.83. This data check brought to you by Granite Shares, a provider of cost-effective no K1 commodity ETFs. Visit GraniteShares.com for more information. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Bob.
U.S. futures and European equities are falling as we begin another trading week with trade in focus. Investors await a deadline this Friday when the U.S. is set to impose tariffs on an additional $34 billion of Chinese goods. Claire Reed is former assistant U.S. trade representative for China.
My assessment is that it's quite likely that we are going to get significant new tariffs on July 6th from the United States, and I have no doubt that China will react with equivalent tariffs within hours.
BMW, Tesla, and other automakers are bracing for Friday's levies. China is expected to counter tariffs from the White House with levies on U.S. manufactured cars.
And economic data from China show that tensions may already be weighing on growth. The country's purchasing manager index readings for June show export orders shrinking.
At the same time, China's currency has tumbled about 3.5% over the past 2 weeks. That has spurred speculation that Beijing is effectively depreciating the currency as a weapon in the dispute.
Meanwhile, President Trump continues to criticize Harley-Davidson for ramping up production in plants outside the U.S. to get around tariffs from the European Union.
I think they're going to take a big hit. I just think it's a great American product, and our people have more pride than they used to have. I really believe that Harley's going to take the people that are buying Harley-Davidson, you know, they don't want it built in another country.
The president tells Fox News that Harley fans are very angry about production being moved out of the U.S. Costs from EU tariffs for Harley could reach about $100 million a year.
The White House reportedly is drafting a bill to allow President Trump to ignore World Trade Organization rules. According to Axios, the measure would let the administration set tariffs at different levels for different countries. However, the move would need approval from Congress, and lawmakers reportedly are unlikely to pass such a bill.
President Trump is once again putting pressure on OPEC, demanding that Saudi Arabia and its peers pump more oil. Bloomberg's Anthony DiPaolo reports from Dubai.
The Saudis have the capacity to add 2 million barrels a day. The Trump administration has said they want to take all of Iran's exports out of the market. That's about 2.5 million barrels. So, of course, even all of Saudi's spare capacity wouldn't be able to cover that. And we haven't seen the OPEC barrels in the market yet. Once physical barrels do start to come into the market, that might shift the calculus a little bit.
This morning, oil prices are falling from their highest level in more than 3 years. Brent crude is down almost 1% now at $78.48 a barrel, while NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% at $73.75.
In Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador has been elected as the country's first left-wing president in recent memory. Bloomberg's Carlos Rodriguez reports from Mexico City.
Now that we know that López Obrador is going to be the next president of Mexico, the open question remains how much control he's going to have in Congress. There's different types of majority that his coalition can have. Depending on how many votes they get in the coming hours, that majority can be just a simple majority, an absolute majority, or a super majority. So far, it seems like he's poised to have an absolute majority. That means a little bit over 50%, but not enough to do changes of the Constitution by themselves.
Bloomberg's Carlos Rodriguez reporting from Mexico, where the peso is weakening this morning. The currency had initially strengthened as exit polls showed a lead for the left-wing leader, but turned weaker after polls showed his populist party could also gain broad support in Congress. Right now, the Mexican peso is down around 0.4%.
In the UK, this month could mark a moment of truth for Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit plan. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. It's been dubbed the Body Bag Summit, a meeting of the cabinet at Theresa May's country estate with some potentially uncomfortable choices as she tries to unite her inner circle. They're going to have two options, either back the Prime Minister on Brexit or resign. Those talks due to take place on Friday with details published next week and a paper to follow that sets out the UK's goals for its post-Brexit relationship with the EU. May can take some solace, though. The opposition Labour Party is also divided over Brexit with growing calls for a second referendum among the ranks. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Sebastian. Germany, the fate of Angela Merkel's ruling coalition could be decided today. The German Chancellor's Christian Democratic Union and its Bavarian sister party are trying to resolve a dispute over migration policy. They hold last-ditch talks today with their coalition's parliamentary majority hanging in the balance. S&P futures currently down 14 points, 0.5%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get the very latest at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Republican Senator Susan Collins, a key vote on President Donald Trump's pick for the Supreme Court, says she would oppose any nominee she believes would overturn the landmark Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion. On ABC's This Week, the Maine senator said she would only back a judge who would show respect for settled law.
It has been established as a constitutional right for 45 years and was reaffirmed 26 years ago.
President Trump on Fox was asked about his upcoming Supreme Court choice.
It's probably going to be vicious because the other side, all they could do is obstruct and resist. You know, the whole thing is resist.
Trump also says he's going to mention Russian meddling in U.S. elections during his upcoming meeting with Vladimir Putin. It's officially a heat wave in New York. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin.
Michael, the heat wave is going to be with us here in the tri-state area for the work week. It's going to be hot even on the 4th of July. It looks like the pattern breaks down over the upcoming weekend and will turn cooler and more comfortable, but it's certainly going to be very hot. We have heat warnings up for the city, excessive heat warnings away from the coast. The coast is actually going to see a light sea breeze develop, and that'll keep the temperatures probably close to 90 this afternoon, while the interior will see temperatures well up into the 90s, and then you factor in the humidity. Some portions of the suburbs will feel like they're above 100 degrees. Michael?
Thank you, Rob. French President Emmanuel Macron has replaced an ambassador over a confidential memo that was leaked to the media. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi is in Paris.
Emmanuel Macron sees himself as the leader of the pro-European liberal order in Europe. So when his ambassador to Hungary wrote a note praising the anti-immigration policies of Prime Minister Viktor Orban, the consequences were never going to be pretty. Macron said last Friday that if the note was confirmed, he'd fire the ambassador. Les Echos newspaper reported Sunday that Macron has already gone ahead and done that and has replaced the envoy, Eric Fournier. Gregory Viscusi in Paris for Bloomberg Daybreak.
New Jersey will increase the levy on income over $5 million and impose a four-year surcharge on corporate business taxes under a new budget deal. Governor Phil Murphy says the income tax rate for the $5 million threshold will rise to 10.75%, while the corporate surcharge will average 2%. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees took 2 of 3 from the Red Sox in the Bronx, and they did so with power.
Swung on and drilled to right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. Aaron Hicks has a 3-homer game. Hicks one to the sticks. He drives one into the second deck and right. And the Yankees take a 10-0 lead.
Yankees radio, a different Aaron going yard. 3 times, Aaron Hicks becomes just the 3rd Yankee to homer 3 times in a game versus Boston, joining Mark Teixeira and Lou Gehrig. New York buried Boston 11-1, pulling even with the Red Sox in the East. Luis Severino continues his Cy Young caliber season, improving to 13-2, striking out 6 over 6 2/3 scoreless innings. The front-running Braves are in town tonight. Anibal Sanchez faces Jonathan Loaisiga. Red Sox head to Washington to meet Max Scherzer. The Mets beat the Marlins 5-2 in Miami. They're off today. They travel to Toronto. NBA free agency erupted on Sunday as LeBron James heads west for the first time in his career. 4 years, $153 million to play for the Lakers. Paul George stays in Oklahoma City. Former Islander John Tavares, now a Toronto Maple Leaf for 7 years. World Cup, Brazil faces Mexico at 10 a.m., followed by Belgium and Japan in the knockout round. Golf, Tiger Woods finished tied for 4th at the Quicken Loans National, still finished 10 strokes back. Tennis, Wimbledon begins today. Top seed Roger Federer gets underway at 8. Ladies action, 4th-seeded American Sloane Stephens also plays at 8. Serena Williams seeded 25th. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thanks very much. S&P futures down 13 points, 0.5%. Dow futures have carved off 148 points. NASDAQ futures are down by 45 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 8/32, the yield at 2.8291%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest, member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 15 points. Dow futures down 160. NASDAQ futures down 50. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 2.82%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 43 cents at $73.72 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Andrés Manuel López Obrador was elected as Mexico's first left-wing president in recent times. Meanwhile, President Trump tweeted his congratulations. In baseball, the Yankees down the Red Sox, the Mets, Orioles, and Giants won. The Nationals and A's lost. In the World Cup, Russia and Croatia advanced. NBA free agency news, LeBron James will head to the Lakers. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:18 on Wall Street and time to start off the week with our executive roundtable. Let's get you set up for the day and the week ahead around the world. Helping us do that in New York and London, Bloomberg News senior executive editors John McCrory and Heather Harris. And in Beijing, we're joined by top editor Emma O'Brien. Emma, let's start with you. The markets are falling on a crunch week for the trade wars. What's the picture in Asia?
That's right. Trade war anxiety is back to haunt markets. We're counting down to D-Day on Friday. That's when President Trump's 25% tariffs on more than $30 billion of Chinese imports come into force. That will trigger a like-for-like retaliation from China. So markets here continue to take a hit. We had the Shanghai Composite Index down over 2% today. The yuan weakening again. We're seeing contagion elsewhere. Japanese shares sliding more than 2% as well today. And S&P 500 futures down around half a percent right now. So it's interesting, as I would have thought a lot of this was baked in by now, but investors were probably expecting, I guess, an 11th hour round of talks to stop these tariffs. But as far as we know, there haven't been any meaningful discussions between the two sides as yet to avert this.
Yeah, and Bob, Emma's right about the S&P futures, of course, being down. And some of that could be coming from the auto sector. What's expected is when China does do the retaliatory tariffs, that the automakers are going to drop because of that. GM has come out and said that they expect the tariffs to hurt them. Daimler was one of the first automakers to say the same thing. So you could see that sector in particular gets hit.
John McCrory, thank you very much in New York. And Heather Harris, over to you in London. You're watching Brent crude slide more today.
Yeah, that's right. So clearly just after everyone had recovered from the OPEC meeting, which was particularly fractious given the U.S. sanctions on Iranian oil this time around, essentially Trump claiming that he told the Saudis and the Saudis agreed to boost production by 2 million barrels, which would essentially put them at full capacity. We then had that backtracking over the weekend. The White House distanced itself from Trump's statement and the Saudis too. But clearly, you know, there's a lot of intent by Trump to perhaps sort of drive a bit of a wedge through a united, well, already a fractious OPEC front. And we've seen the repercussions of that in the market today.
John, back in this hemisphere, a populist landslide as Mexico's López Obrador sweeps to power.
Absolutely. Get used to that name. AMLO is the acronym, but Andrés Manuel López Obrador is a leftist populist. He's expected to increase the national debt by funding social programs. And there is concern in the investment community that that's going to hurt Mexico's both its credit rating and the peso has already been dropping in anticipation of AMLO's winning. That said, AMLO tried to reassure the business community by saying that he will honor all, you know, legal institutions. He has talked about the Pemex trying to reverse this notion of making Pemex, the oil company, a private industry. We'll have to wait and see whether or not this is going to be good for business.
Heather Harris, back to Europe. Judgment day for Angela Merkel?
Possibly not for her, but more likely for her junior coalition partner, the Christian Socialist Union, based in Bavaria. It looks like Merkel, after telling the CSU that she would get a deal and she would go for a deal in Brussels, the EU Leaders Summit, they stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning. She got her deal. She went back. The signs were promising. And yet the Bavarians are still not happy with this. It looks like Merkel is probably going to come out on top, that the CSU is going to need to walk back a little bit, or, you know, risk really becoming sort of distant in the parliament, and Merkel could indeed govern a minority government if she chose to do so. So it's big, but it's not something that we think is actually going to cost Merkel her chancellorship.
And pick right on up, if you will, Heather, on Theresa May's possible moment of truth.
Indeed. So yet another Brexit lock-in this week. Brexit was really pushed down the agenda at last week's meeting in Brussels. And because of this migration thorny issue that's risen to the top of the agenda here, May is locking her entire cabinet of ministers into Chequers, the country estate north of London. And they ain't going to get out of there until they've reached some kind of deal. We've had speculation, a possible third way between the people who want to stay in the customs union and those who don't. But again, we sort of tried these fudges before, and the sides are so entrenched, it's really hard to see who's going to come out on top.
And Emma O'Brien, in Beijing, there's a report that North Korea is expanding its missile manufacturing plant.
Yeah, that's right. This report makes use of satellite pictures. And it's interesting because it suggests North Korea may have gone into the Singapore summit with Trump vowing to denuclearize while potentially just carrying on as usual. So the pictures capture a factory complex that was used to make engines for solid fuel ballistic missiles and also makes other missile components, including the so-called re-entry vehicles for warheads that could be used on long-range missiles that could hit the U.S. So if these pictures are true and the timeline is true, this does undercut Trump's assurances that North Korea is no longer a nuclear threat.
And very quickly, John McCrory, back here in the U.S., Jobs Friday, last but not least.
Yep, Bob. And non-farm payrolls supposed to add another 200,000 jobs. The unemployment rate supposed to stay about 3.8%. So it's interesting. On Friday, the trade concerns are coming, but the economy seems to be rolling right along.
And our thanks once again in New York and London, Bloomberg News senior executive editors John McCrory and Heather Harris, and in Beijing, our top editor Emma O'Brien. S&P futures this morning down 18 points. That is 2/3 of 1%. Dow futures down 185 points. NASDAQ futures down 58 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world as we begin the third quarter and enter a crunch week for global trade. Dow futures are down more than 177 points. European averages are off by 1%, and the Shanghai Composite, which entered a bear market territory last week, slumped a further 2.5%.
This Friday, the U.S. is scheduled to impose tariffs on $34 billion of Chinese goods. Beijing has said it will slap levies on an equal value on U.S. exports, including agricultural and auto products.
Friday is also the day we get the June jobs report. It tops this week's economic agenda. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Unemployment is a 17-year low. Jobless claims are near half-century lows, and job openings have been running at record highs. Economists are forecasting a June payroll gain of about 200,000 or so. So far this year, the economy has added more than 1 million jobs. Also on this week's calendar, ISM data on manufacturing and service industries and government data on trade, construction spending, and factory orders. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinnie, thanks. Crude is sliding from the highest level in more than 3 years after President Trump piled pressure on Saudi Arabia to increase output to cut the cost of oil for consumers. And checking oil right now, West Texas Intermediate down 1/3 of a percent at $73.88 a barrel. Brent crude is lower by 2/3 of a percent to $78.72.
Mexico's peso is falling as the leftist Andrés Manuel López Obrador cruised to victory in Mexico's presidential election.
In Germany, the fate of Angela Merkel's ruling coalition is set to be decided today. The chancellor's Christian Democratic Union and its Bavarian sister party will try to resolve a dispute over migration policy.
Dell has announced plans to trade publicly again. The tech company will return to public markets by subsuming its tracking stock, DVMT, in a cash and share swap deal. These shares are meant to mirror the value of software maker VMware, in which Dell has a controlling stake.
And Tesla shares are up 5% in early trading. The electric car maker says it has exceeded a long-sought production target with its Model 3 by building 5,000 of the sedans in the last week of June.
And futures this morning, again, moving lower, down 17 points. Dow futures down 172, and NASDAQ futures down 56. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 2.82%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:33 on Wall Street, a big populist victory in Mexico, and Bloomberg's Michael Barr has more now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. He rode a public revolt against crime, corruption, and poverty, and now it appears voters in Mexico have made history. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It appears the liberal Andrés Manuel López Obrador has swept a victory. The polling has him with a landslide. Bloomberg's Nacha Catan says history.
This is historic. This would be the first time that a leftist comes to power in Mexico in about 4 decades. So very big news here.
His opponents have conceded official results should be released later today. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine says President Trump shouldn't pick someone for the Supreme Court who does not respect legal precedent, including the settled 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion. Collins on ABC's This Week.
A candidate for this important position who would overturn Roe v. Wade would not be acceptable to me, because that would indicate an activist agenda that I don't want to see a judge have.
Meanwhile, President Trump told Fox getting his choice for the Supreme Court is going to be a hard fight, but a fast one. Trump also sent a warning to Democratic protesters.
I hope the other side realizes that they better just take it easy. They better just take it easy. Because some of the language used, some of the words used, some of the radical ideas, I really think they're very bad for the country.
Trump also says he's going to mention Russian meddling in U.S. elections during his upcoming meeting with Vladimir Putin. President Trump's longtime personal lawyer, who is under investigation by federal prosecutors in New York, says his silence is broken. Michael Cohen tweeted a photo of him sitting with ABC News' George Stephanopoulos for an interview that will air today. It's hard enough to get a parking spot on the street in New York. Now residents are at odds over a new arrangement that's taking away hundreds of public spaces and giving them out to companies that rent out cars by the hour. Proponents of car sharing see the 2-year pilot program as an efficient alternative to car ownership. Car owners fear fewer spaces will force them to circle the block even more. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you very much. And Michael moves us along to 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees sent a message to the Red Sox 6 times over on Sunday.
Swung on, a high drive to deep center. Bradley going back, away back, on the track, at the wall. She's gone! Into Monument Park. A Judgian blast.
Yankees Radio's New York took down Boston 11-1, taking 2 of 3 and tying the Red Sox atop the standings. 6 home runs belted, including 3 from Aaron Hicks, becoming just the 3rd player in Yankee history to go yard 3 times against the Red Sox. He joins Lou Gehrig and Mark Teixeira. Luis Severino continues his Cy Young season. He fanned 6 6⅔ innings. He's now 13-2. Yankees host Anibal Sanchez and the Braves tonight. New York sends Jonathan Loaisiga to the mound. Red Sox, they'll visit the Nationals. It's Rick Porcello facing Max Scherzer. The Mets avoided a sweep with a 5-2 win in Miami. They've lost 8 of 10 and will take Monday off for a travel day to head north of the border and meet the Blue Jays on Tuesday. NBA free agency exploded on Sunday. LeBron James is a Los Angeles Laker. 4 years, $153 million. Paul George stays put in Oklahoma City. Chris Paul re-signs with the Rockets. DeAndre Jordan is a Maverick. Hockey former Islander John Tavares, now a Toronto Maple Leaf for 7 years. Golf, Tiger finished the Quicken Loans National, tied for 4th at 11 under par. World Cup knockout round as Brazil faces Mexico at 10 a.m., followed by Belgium and Japan. Wimbledon starts this morning. Top-seeded Roger Federer on center court at 8 a.m. On the ladies' side, American Sloane Stephens also plays at 8. She's seeded 4th. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Thank you, Rob Bushka. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
To adhere to a standard of one person, one vote, the Supreme Court requires each congressional district to contain a roughly equal number of people. The court has also ruled that gerrymandering legislative maps to dilute the power of racial minorities is unlawful. However, the court has avoided taking a stand on partisan gerrymanders. Recently, it sent claims on gerrymandered districts in several states back to lower courts. That's unfortunate. Political gerrymanders undermine confidence in the political system, add to an already abundant supply of partisan rancor, and discriminate against the Americans whose votes are discounted. So far, only 2 states, Arizona and California, have districts drawn by an independent commission. But commissions appear to be gaining momentum. They're not foolproof, but they are the best bet for drawing maps that are fair, compact, and respectful of city and county lines. As more states look for alternatives to partisan gerrymanders, nonpartisan, independent commissions are the way to go. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. President Donald Trump's request for an extra $5 billion in fiscal 2019 for border wall construction has left lawmakers in the dark on how the money would be used. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Lawmakers are in the final stretch of budget talks and were caught off guard when, during a recent meeting, the president asked for the additional funds.
Even some of the lawmakers who have been supportive of adding more money are saying you need to send a formal request and tell us exactly what you would use it for, how many miles of wall, how much staffing. This needs to be an actual request rather than something he just brings up at a meeting.
Bloomberg government's Jack Fitzpatrick says Senator Richard Shelby, who chairs the Senate Appropriations Committee, believes the initial request of $1.6 billion is enough. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:39, coming up on 6:40 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. A red-hot electric vehicle market has triggered a face-off between big oil and utilities. Oil majors are now moving away from fossil fuels and into an electricity sector that's preparing for exponential growth. The problem is that utilities, the primary power suppliers for a century, have the same idea. BP said last week it would spend about $170 million to buy the electric vehicle charging company Chargemaster, with plans to add the technology to its existing network of retail stations. It follows similar moves by Royal Dutch Shell. BP predicts electric vehicle sales will surge by 8,800% by 2040, making it an attractive business for oil companies as demand for gasoline and diesel slows. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter. 24/7 news streaming live on Twitter. You can follow us at TikTok. That's TikTok.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by Granite Shares, a provider of cost-effective no-K1 commodity ETFs. Visit GraniteShares.com for more information. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Now let's go over to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Janet Freund. Janet, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. stock futures are lower this morning amid geopolitical risks and weak economic data out of China. Dow futures are off 0.7%, S&P 500 down 6%, and NASDAQ futures are losing 0.8%. The U.S. 10-year yield is at 2.83%. The Shanghai Composite Index sank 2.5%, and European markets are lower across the board. Back in the U.S., expected economic data includes PMI and ISM manufacturing reports. Over the weekend, Macau June casino revenue misses, and Facebook revealed it was still sharing user data with some developers. And Kroger filed a suit accusing poultry companies of agreeing to curtail the supply of chicken. Earnings news is quiet this holiday weekend, and in deal news, Dell will offer a new class of publicly listed stock. Wrapping things up, Nordstrom's was downgraded to market perform at Cowen, Wells Fargo was upgraded to equal weight at Morgan Stanley, and Nielsen was cut to sell at Goldman. Live from the breaking news desk, I'm Janet Freund.
All right, Janet, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a huge populist victory in Mexico. Voters elected leftist populist candidate Andrés Manuel López Obrador as president. It gives him a broad mandate to overthrow the political establishment and govern for the poor. According to a new research study, President Trump's plan to ban spouses of high-skilled visa holders from working will likely push 100,000 people out of jobs and negatively affect the visa holders and their employers. In baseball, the Yankees rolled over the Red Sox 11-1. The Mets won along with the Orioles and Giants. The Nationals and A's lost. In the World Cup yesterday, it came down to penalty kicks. Russia knocked out Spain. Croatia beat Denmark. Big free agency news in the NBA. LeBron James will head to the Los Angeles Lakers. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, it's a Chinese export Americans cannot get enough of. China exported a record 53,700 metric tons of fireworks in May. Since 2012, the value of total exports has exceeded $700 million per year. And, Bob, so far as we head into the 4th of July holiday, this year is on pace to continue the streak.
And what could be more American? No, I'm not even going to finish. It's too obvious.
I know $200 of that was shot off by my neighbors last night. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I love them. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. The agenda in our nation's capital includes President Trump welcoming the Prime Minister of the Netherlands to the White House. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo meets with the head of the United Nations Assistance Mission in Iraq. And on Capitol Hill, the House and the Senate are in recess this week. They're set to return Tuesday, July 10th. On the international stage, trade is front and center this week, with the U.S. set to slap an additional $34 billion of tariffs on Chinese goods this Friday. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us now with the latest. Kathleen, good morning. We're hearing pushback from a lot of companies, especially automakers. What are they saying?
Basically, what they're saying is that this is going to be disadvantageous in both the U.S. and in Canada in terms of jobs and in terms of passing on costs to consumers. These are the same types of concerns that we've been hearing all along from various sectors of business world that might be affected by these tariffs. And so now we're seeing it focus in on car companies.
And we're also seeing the lobbying community push back against the administration's stance on trade, aren't we?
Definitely. And so it's in some ways, it's really not surprising that we're seeing kind of this lobbying blitz, given all the various stakeholders that are potentially going to be affected by these escalating tariffs. What's interesting to note here is that what we're hearing from lobbyists is that some of their traditional playbooks and the approaches they've taken in the past don't seem to be as successful in terms of persuading the Trump administration to change its tough stance on trade. And so that is a bit surprising, but this administration has proved very unconventional in a lot of different ways.
And the administration at this point is moving full speed ahead with these tariffs. We've got some coming up at the end of the week, and there isn't concern that this sort of snaps the trap door on these things?
Well, definitely. I think that's the thing. You know, we kind of see this first sort of round dealing with China's kind of taking effect come Friday. And I think the concern is that at some point it becomes kind of something that gets a momentum of its own. And in terms of the kind of tit for tat and the escalation between the U.S. and China in particular, also we kind of saw that a couple weeks ago with the U.S. and the EU on the steel and aluminum tariffs. And I think the concern is that once it kind of gets momentum of its own, it may be impossible to stop.
Okay, let's turn our focus to the vacancy on the Supreme Court now, as it always seems to do. It's shining a light on the Roe v. Wade debate. And how is this playing out on Capitol Hill in particular?
Well, this has been a huge issue. A lot of the focus so far has been on Roe versus Wade. And on one hand, I think the thinking among Republicans is that this could be something that gives them a boost, kind of takes the attention away from concerns over immigration and concerns over trade, and kind of motivates the base ahead of the midterm elections. But the danger there is that it could be true on the other side. If Trump does go ahead and appoint someone, as he looks poised to do, who's prepared to overturn Roe versus Wade, I think the concern for Republicans is that that could really, really motivate the Democratic base on the other side. And that, you know, that's a segment that already has been kind of highly motivated to counter Trump's influence, and that could even be more persuasive and more energized, given that, you know, something like 2/3 of Americans support Roe v. Wade.
And we've even heard some Republican lawmakers, in particular Maine's Susan Collins, suggest that she wouldn't be in favor of a judge who would, or a justice who would, overturn Roe v. Wade, because it would indicate an activist judge.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things to kind of keep in mind here is that there are some Republican senators, Collins is the prime example, you know, who would be concerned with overturning Roe v. Wade. I think women senators in particular would be ones to talk to, or senators from more moderate states like Maine, where Collins comes from, where, you know, that type of a move and supporting a justice who would do that, a justice nominee who would do that, would probably be pretty unpopular. And so there's a kind of open question of how extreme a nominee Trump could even get through the Senate.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And a reminder that you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 HD2. It is now 6:54 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Paniru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. In picking a successor to Justice Anthony Kennedy, President Donald Trump has many fine potential nominees among whom to choose. The five people who appear to be the top contenders are all well-respected conservative judges. Within that group, Judge Amy Coney Barrett is the best choice. She is the youngest of the five and can therefore be expected to be on the court the longest. She's also recently been through Senate confirmation to a federal appeals court. She won the support of all the Republicans and three Democrats. And the main criticism other Democrats leveled at her, that she was too dogmatic a Catholic to be an impartial judge, was neither persuasive nor effective. Because she is a woman, Barrett would also be the nominee hardest for Democrats to portray as an enemy of women's rights. She'd also make the women at the Supreme Court less politically uniform. If Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, let it not be done by only male justices, with every female justice in dissent. I'm Ramesh Paniru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN-GO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
68% of Americans own four-legged friends, a paw-dropping 184 million dogs and cats, to be precise. Wild Earth, a small startup in Berkeley, California, is hoping vegan pet owners will want to share their meatless menus with their pets. With $4 million in seed money, Wild Earth hopes to be the first pet food brand based on cellular agriculture. That means fake meat for Fido. The initial product Wild Earth plans to sell from its direct-to-consumer website is a Koji-based dog treat. It's a lucrative choice, apparently, since the American Pet Products Association said dogs are given more treats than any other pet species. Koji, a fungus, is the Japanese version of baker's yeast. It grows rapidly inside tanks, along with sugar and nutrients, at the right balmy temperature. The result is a plant-based protein with a close match to eggs or animal-based meat. And that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. We continue to watch shares of VMware this morning, up more than 14% in early trading. Dell Technologies, the world's largest private technology company, announcing plans to trade publicly again, entering a new stage of multi-year turnaround plan. The tech giant will return to public markets by subsuming its tracking stock, DVMT, in a cash and share swap deal. The share is currently worth about $17 billion and meant to mirror the value of software maker VMware, in which Dell has a controlling stake. And again, VMware shares up more than 14%. This morning. Meanwhile, futures are lower, with S&P futures down 13.5 points, Dow futures down 135, and NASDAQ futures are down 46. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.